Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, this is Alexia Georgiou from The Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. Welcome to episode 15. Today we're talking about time. So time. So many of us say we don't have enough time. We're going to talk about giving attention to tasks and prioritizing them. We're also going to talk about how much time it takes to develop these mind-forming habits that create new memories so we can rewire the brain. My name's Alexia Georgiou. This is episode 15 of The Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. You can reach me at alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's A-L-E-X-I-A at theresilientpathway.com. Like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Hello, I'm Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach. Welcome to episode 15. We're talking about the time mindset. Our textbook is Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Think, Learn, Succeed. She has 15 mindsets that are proven by her research studies to rewire the brain. And what do we mean by rewiring the brain? Memories are thoughts. Everything that we do is first a thought that we build into our brains. The root of everything that we say and do is based on the memories that we have built into our brain through our thinking. Memories take time to build, about 21 days to build a long-term memory and then another 42 days to build this memory into a thinking habit. That's what we want. Thinking habits. So when something happens, our response is a positive thinking habit. And this isn't about us putting our head in the sand and ignoring things. We talk a lot on this podcast about realistic optimism, looking at the situation, the reality, and thinking about what's the best that could occur, and that will motivate us with our actions. It will give us hope. Hope is very powerful. I remember when two things were introduced into mental health assessments, and they had not been in assessments when I went to college to get my degree. So I went to school back in the early 90s, and I can remember when we were asked on our psychosocial assessments to include a question about people's spirituality. That was new. And I was actually living and working in Florida, and the governor, it was Governor Bush at the time, he gave a mandate that we were to ask about spirituality. The next thing that occurred, I was back here in Tennessee, and we were asked to talk about hope during a suicide assessment. And the research at the time had shown how powerful hope is for a human being as a protective factor when they're very down and depressed and having thoughts of ending their life. So that is just amazing, because now it just seems like everybody understands the power of hope, and that's not exactly true. I have a specific group on Facebook, and it's a faith-based group. The name of it is Happy Jesus Followers. And yes, you can laugh. It is very specified. The people that are part of that group went to the same Bible school as me. A lot of them did. And it's a platform for them to share. So there's a lot of posts on there of people around the world preaching. And one of the preachers messaged me on Facebook, and we had a brief conversation. He said that a lot of Christians don't believe in hope, that they don't think it's really important. And so I was really baffled by that. And so I did post something where I'm talking about hope. I made some posts where I'm saying how important it is, because we can't always have a mindset that says, yeah, everything's going to turn out okay because so much in my life is going well. If you've ever been in a place of despair where you think it was like a rock bottom for you, and you can remember that maybe you didn't have much hope. And I guess people don't realize it unless they've experienced a real downfall in their lives where things seem hopeless. That's when we realize how important hope is. And there was a time in my career where I conducted suicide assessments. It was working for a mobile crisis in my area. It's different in areas in the United States. So in Tennessee, at the time, we were going to wherever setting the person was at, and we had questions to ask them. And so I saw what a hopeless human being experiences at a very low point in their lives. And I don't know what percentage, there was a large percentage of people who things weren't going well, and it was their way to cry out for help. They had strong protective factors. They weren't really going to follow through with ending their lives, and they were content with a plan in the moment to get them some help. A lot of times that looked like therapy, seeing someone to be assessed for medications, and so forth, just increasing their support system. There was a smaller percentage of people that I saw, and it was the real thing. Like, they had lost hope. They couldn't get it out of their mind. They had a plan. They were going to kill themselves. And it really was beyond their control in the moment. And so those were the people. It was very frightening. We had to place them immediately in a secure hospital to make sure that they got the stabilization and care that they needed. And a really strong factor with that was seeing a human being that was hopeless. So don't take hope for granted. That's something, it's really important, because throughout the time of our lives, things happen. And maybe we have great coping skills and we have a great support system, and something that we didn't expect to knock us down does. And we think, why? You know, why did this affect me so much? And it's really not the why. It's not about us being weak. It's just we're human. And all of us are going to experience disappointments and be affected differently. When I think about resilience, recently I went to a conference. It was called the Unstoppable Cultures Fellowship. And there was a retired Navy SEAL commander called Denver Rourke. So he talked throughout the fellowship, and I was just so curious how he had been through everything he had been through and kept the optimistic realism and resilience. And I didn't really have to ask him that question. Just hearing him talk, whether he was giving a presentation or fireside stories, it's the way he framed things. And he was valuing life. He knew that time is limited. He shared how he may see one of his buddies and how he was hugging them and saying, "I love you." And then others who maybe weren't a Navy SEAL in the same setting were saying, "You just told that man you loved him." And his response was like, "Yes, because I don't know if I'm going to see him again." And so he shared stories where a whole unit would be lost because the helicopter would be shot down, and how the rest of the teammates, the rest of the Navy SEALs would be volunteering, "Let us go help," even though they were going in danger, even though they had just lost over 20 of their teammates. Facing that grief, they just already had the mindset and the realization that that is a reality of their work. And so that just made me really think, how do we live the time that we have? If we really think tomorrow isn't promised. A lot of us take that for granted. The work that we do, it's not high risk that we might die because of our work. However, we live in this world, and in this world, there's so much that could happen to us. Another person that I've been talking about is my mother, diagnosed with stage 4 metastasized cancer that's inoperable. And so she's beginning treatment. And I was asked during a recent coaches panel with the Knoxville Happiness Coalition, how do you maintain happiness when things happen in life that bring sadness and fear? And so my answer to that was really what we're doing is cherishing every day. We're making positive memories together, and we're just realizing that, okay, if today was the last day that we cherished the time together and we spent quality time together, and so we've usually on Sundays, that's the day I see my mom and we go out to eat. And maybe now is just a little more of a reminder to really enjoy that. Also, I took her to the radiologist-oncologist appointment. We went 2 days in a row, and so I was going to go travel. I'm traveling a lot, and the doctors, they're saying, that's fine. You know, she at this point can drive herself, and I feel really bad about that, about leaving her. So the second time that we visited this office, it was for her to drive and for her to navigate the hospital, because up until then, I had been taking her, and I knew where we were going, and she just was relaxed and not paying attention. So I'm with her and I'm sitting in the waiting area, and her appointment isn't going to be long. So people in that waiting area are patients. They are having radiation treatments for cancer. And I noticed something really unique, and it was really endearing to me, that every single person was reaching out to connect with whoever was sitting in that waiting room. One lady, she was wearing a baseball cap and she had no hair, and she was offering candy. There was eye contact. There was little conversation that was being sparked. Now, I had just been to 2 of my own doctor's appointments for routine checkups. One was to the primary care, and the other one was to the gynecologist. And there was not that interaction in those offices. So if you really want to be around people who value life and understand what's really important, and you know someone with cancer, just take them to one of their treatments, go along with them, sit in that waiting area, and see how the people facing a quicker death than they may have thought, that realize we're not guaranteed tomorrow, how much they value human interaction, connection, relationships. Because that's what life is about, and we forget. We are in the daily grind. We are providing needs. We have families. We have mortgages. We have bills to pay. The children have soccer practice, sports, different activities that are, it's all good. But we're really missing it if we're not taking time for our relationships to look people in the eye and to have a real conversation. So if the kids are in the back seat of the car and you're transporting them, maybe just turn off all the electronics and say, we're going to have a conversation. Family dinner time. That's something that I grew up with, where as busy as my immigrant parents were working and making money, because we did not have credit back then. And so everything they had to earn it and pay for with cash, they were the only ones in the country. The extended family was back in Cyprus. And they didn't skip family dinner table. There were times that my dad, he was a professor at the university, and he would come home and we would have dinner. And then usually he had a home study where he would sit at his desk and do some work. It was rare that he would have to go back out to the lab. So he would structure his time to do the lab work during the day and then to grade papers at home. And he didn't have a computer. And my family eventually built an addition, so there was more room in the house. But until then, his desk was right there in the family room, and we would be watching TV with our mom, and he would be sitting there working. So he knew how to have healthy mindset and focus and concentrate. So a lot of times we're using the excuse, I don't have time. And we do have time. So this is going to be our homework exercise for all of us. Whenever we hear ourselves say, I don't have time, and this, we do it for ourselves, that we're going to redirect it, make note of it, make yourself put a penny in a jar, whatever triggers you to redirect that way of thinking and saying and looking at things. And instead, we're going to say, nope, if I have time to sit and watch TV for an hour, then I have time for relationships. I have time to take that walk. I have time to sit with my family and engage them and have a real talk. It's that we're not really centered and grounded in the daily life. We're taking tomorrow for granted. And time, we don't know what could happen. It could be our last day. And so the two examples, the cancer patients who really don't know how much time they have, and the Navy SEALs who they know because of the risk that they take, they're not guaranteed tomorrow. They could die. They could lose those around them. And so I just really saw it in action through the stories that Commander Rourke is not traumatized. He has practiced resilience and what positive psychologists call post-traumatic growth. And so something may happen in our lives, and it is how we frame our thinking around it and respond. And so this is what we're talking about on the podcast, is how to build and reframe situations to where they don't traumatize us. We're able to work through it and come out the other side growing and learning and appreciating what we have. So memories, they start from thoughts. We can do something with our thoughts. Thoughts are something that we build in our brains. Thoughts are like trees. Think of it like a seed that we're planting and the tree is growing. 21 days to build a long-term memory. 42 days to build this memory into a thinking habit. Keep listening to the podcast because that's what we do. We're developing thinking habits, and it's a great reminder because we forget. It's amazing as human beings. I forget, and I have to come back to this, and I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I'm doing the podcast because it reminds me with everything that I'm going through how to focus on healthy mindset. Nothing worthwhile happens in an instant. It takes longer than the average 1 second lifespan of a Twitter post to make a change. So, you know, this technology age that we have, we want to see things happen quickly. We want change to be instantaneous. There is no quick fix with our thinking. Things take time. And especially in our culture, with the technology, we have expectations. And if it doesn't happen fast through the drive-thru, we become easily frustrated. And so that's something to really work on, is just being patient, because there's plenty of time. If we keep saying there's not enough time, then that's going to be our reality. That's the memory. That's the structure of the brain. And we're going to respond to situations like there's not enough time. There's plenty of time. Tell ourselves there's plenty of time. Anna Grant talks about attention management, that it's not time management, it's what we pay attention to. So it's prioritizing what's important and identifying the one thing that we're going to focus on, and it's one thing until we complete it, and then we go on to the next thing. So I have been a multitasker, and I am working on this to focus on one task at a time until I complete it, and to be satisfied with that and to feel productive, and to know there's plenty of time. It's called attention management. Maybe we should say to ourselves, oh, I'm not paying attention to what's important today. I'm going to pay attention to what's important. I'm going to have that conversation with my child. I'm going to really listen and look at them in the eyes. Instead of 2 hours of TV, I'm going to go to 1 hour of TV and play a board game with the family. That just reminds me of the new social media platform, TikTok. There is some criticism because it started with the young middle school age kids and teenagers, and I think the average age is 15. There's 800 million people on it. Now, I haven't seen much bullying on it. I haven't even seen censorship when it comes to people sharing their faith. It's interesting because it's owned by a Chinese company. What I have seen that's endearing is families. Families will do a dance together, and it's a short video clip, maybe 15 to 60 seconds. And from viewing the videos, it's the stuff that I used to do, that we all used to do when we were kids. It's just they have their phones, and they're videotaping it, and they're sharing it. And so we used to spend hours just talking about things, singing, dancing. That's how we would fill our time with our friends, hanging out. So I didn't have friends that we engaged in sports. We would hang out at each other's houses. And we had record players and cassette players and boom boxes. And so what could you do with that? Sing and dance, tell stories. And so now it's just on the phone. And the time that the family is spending together and saying, let's come up with a dance act to dance and record a video, they're spending quality time. They're laughing together. Laughter is healing. It's a really good thing. And if you want to go today, go on TikTok and look at the song I Will Survive. What I'm noticing is that's a big family event where the kids with their parents are doing these dance acts together. So time, spending time with your loved ones. Connection is key to happiness. We want to activate our brain through choices, through healthy choices, allowing it to build successful, meaningful memory. Just like we're told for our body to function optimally, that we have to follow a certain diet, and that our body needs water, and our body needs exercise and a balance of nutrients. It's the same with the brain. We were created for love. And for everything to flow and function naturally, it needs to flow with love and kindness and gratitude. And the stress and the negative framing is what we're used to. However, it's the antithesis of what we were created to be. And so to find that harmony and flow, and for our functions in our mind and in our body to flow optimally, we have to go back to love and gratitude and kindness. Start with ourselves. Be kind to yourself. This self-criticism, the negative self-talk, start with that. How do we change that thinking? Say positive things about yourself. Make yourself stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm a beautiful person. I'm wonderful. I appreciate myself. I'm a hard worker. I'm smart. Say those positive things to yourself, because the brain will respond with healthy memory formation. And then if someone from the outside is treating us badly, not being so kind, then there's that memory in us that we're not going to receive that, that we know, nope, that's not the truth. That is their issue, that they are projecting their anger and fears onto us. And we know it's not about us. It's about them and their insecurities. Research on neuroplasticity reveals that developing new habits takes cycles of 63 days at a minimum, not 21 days. Most people give up within the first few days. So just think of 7 to 15 minute mind exercises per day with memory building. Listen to the podcast. Listen to music that's uplifting for you. Sing, dance, do activities that make you feel good. And when you think, I don't have time to do that, say, nope, I have plenty of time. It's what I give attention to. Time mindset activation tips. Don't let the time it takes for attaining a skill change a mindset. Learn to control emotions or forgive, discourage you from keeping on. Okay, so it takes time. So don't just say, well, I don't have time for that. Make time for that. Because you want a new skill. You want and need to change the mindset. We all need to control our emotions. And, you know, being discouraged, we all get discouraged. So find an accountability partner to say, when I'm discouraged, will you just remind me? Will you just encourage me to keep on going on? People get together as workout buddies. It's the same concept. It's like workout mindset activity buddies. Don't sabotage yourself by fearing what other people will think of you or what other people will say about you, what you're doing as you go through these time-consuming processes of change. That's toxic energy from other people. So it's not their opinion. And if they don't want to make changes and if they want to stay in the negativity, that is their choice. We can't change that about them. We can change that about ourselves. Think of failure as knowledge obtained, even if it's knowledge of what not to do. Never label something as a complete failure. Everything is a teaching moment to develop your character. So get that word failure out of your vocabulary and reframe. There we go. We're reframing as a teaching moment. New goals come with each new experience. It's good to have a goal and vision. Be prepared to adjust it, change it, do a 180-degree turn if necessary. Be very flexible, use your time effectively, and this will enhance your progress towards success. Keep it alive and make adjustments and be okay with that. Change is constant in life. Understand the difference between distractions and being flexible. This is good. Flexibility moves you forward. Distractions halt your progress. So think about it. Are you being flexible and are you still making forward movement, progressing with positivity, optimism, or is it something that's going to stagnate and stop your process? Take time to truly believe in yourself. If you don't have confidence in your abilities, no matter how skilled and talented you are, your performance will suffer. So there's a difference between confidence and actual skill. You may have to begin your journey to success with a 63-day plan just to learn how to believe in yourself. So we want to start exactly where we're at. So if you have real negative self-talk going on, that's where you begin. And you start making those positive affirmations to yourself. Write those positive statements on index cards. Have them in your car, on the dashboard, in the mirror for when you wake up in the morning, before you go to bed at night, wherever you brush your teeth. Have it in the fridge when you open the fridge. Every time you see it, make the statement. Now, that's the old school way. Take your phone. Open up notes. Write those positive affirmations. Open up the notes. On your computer, there are stickies that you could put stickies all around and decorate. You could post positive affirmations, and nobody knows that those are for you. You can just do your research online and on your social media accounts, post positive affirmative statements. And those are really for you, and it's also going to positively affect other people. And if you're not used to doing that, you know, people may start making comments towards you. And there you go. Don't let them pull you down if they're not ready for that change. They just might not be ready for it, and that's okay. You're planting a seed in them as well. Choose not to let time control you. You control time. We all have deadlines, so we want to flow with the natural sequence of time when completing a task. And again, I have plenty of time is what we're working on this week with homework. If it takes longer than planned, adjust. Don't panic. If you panic, you may end up undoing all of the progress. So be kind to ourselves. I would love to hear from you. You know, send me an email and tell me how this is working for you. What do you think of the podcast? What would you like to hear more of? I would love to hear from you. Alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's Alexia at theresilientpathway.com. Today was episode 15, talking about time. We have plenty of time. We're practicing attention management. We're practicing flowing with how we were created to be in love, gratitude, and kindness. We're beginning with ourselves. Be kind to yourself today. Like, share, and subscribe The Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. This is Alexia Georgiou. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Hello, this is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach. This is The Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. Would you like a life coach to walk along your side with better work-life integration? And what you need to prioritize in everything in life and how to make that work so you're not sacrificing anything. Contact me today. I have availability in person in Knoxville, Tennessee. I also am available on Zoom and Skype. My website is theresilientpathway.com. You can reach me at alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's Alexia at theresilientpathway.com. Keep listening to the podcast. I hope to hear from you today.
Worried about keeping up with your fave friends all summer? or posting every perfectly pink sunset you see? Don't sweat the connect. You can have it made in the shade with 4 lines of unlimited data for $100 a month. Scroll the staycation pics, find your new go-to takeout spot, or catch some rays on video chat. Whatever you and the crew are into, all the data makes it all that much better. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket Core acquired on 4 lines. Data speed limited to 3 megabits per second. Cricket may slow data speeds when the network is busy. Additional fees, usage, and restrictions apply.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.